Will you please pray with me? Living God, help us to hear your word so that we may truly see, that through seeing we may believe, and by believing we may follow your way and seek to glorify you in all that we do. Amen. This morning we are going to venture off lectionary a little bit, and our reading this morning will come from Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 32. If you would like to follow along, you can find that on page 45 in the New Testament in your Bible. Please listen for a word from God. Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But the disciples did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. The word of God for the people of God. I'm going to ask for a little forgiveness in advance, but whenever I read this text, I am reminded of an old Irish joke that I know. Maybe you've heard it before. It goes a little like this. An Irishman was running late to a job interview, and he was flustered because everywhere he looked, he could not find an open parking space. "Ah, gads," muttered Paddy to himself as he circled the parking lot, looking in vain for a space. In desperation, he offered a prayer. "Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner in all and have been all my life, but if you would be so kind as to grant me a parking space so I don't miss the job interview, I would be ever so grateful. I promise I will start going to church every Sunday, say my prayers every evening, and as hard as it will be, I will even give up me whiskey. Amen." Suddenly, the clouds parted, and the sun shone down as a car pulled out right in front of him, freeing up an empty space. "Ah, never mind, Lord," Paddy said. "I got one already. Thanks anyway." I feel like I can now get away with this joke after marrying a Patrick, formerly O'Heary. They chopped the O off and they moved here. But now I don't know about praying for parking spaces. However, one of the most perplexing things about the Easter story for me is that Jesus' own disciples just didn't get it. Like Patty, it seems like they just couldn't see God at work, even when it was so clearly evident. Admittedly, sometimes Jesus spoke in deliberately vague terms. So it's perhaps understandable in these cases that the disciples wouldn't have picked up on Jesus' meaning without some help. While we often tend to think of parables as being stories which Jesus told in which the message was meant to be easier for them to understand, Mark instead presents these parables as riddles. Only those who have faith will understand and accept them. However, these three verses clearly aren't one of those places. Here, Jesus speaks plainly and directly about his imminent arrest, death, and resurrection. And it's not as if he just did this once. Jesus predicts his death and resurrection for the disciples a total of 3 times just in this gospel. It could not have been any clearer than this. Jesus is standing before them, and as clearly as he can, he reveals to his disciples the plan of God. And yet, still the passage ends by saying, "But they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him." I don't know about you, but personally, I have found the disciples' inability to just get it to be absolutely maddening when I read the story. After all, they had the opportunity to be face to face with Jesus, which is something that I will not get in this lifetime. So it is with frustration that I wonder, why couldn't the disciples who were there, who saw Jesus, who had the opportunity to ask whatever question they wanted, why couldn't they understand God's plan? Why were they too afraid to ask, even when they were told it? Why could they not see how God was obviously, so obviously at work, even when the Son of God was standing before their eyes? Now, with our 2020 hindsight, we are blessed to know the end of the story. So it's tempting to scoff at the disciples for their ignorance. But to do so is to miss the point. And the point is this: you and I are no different. Today, right now, in this moment, God is at work. God is still speaking. God is moving among us and working through us. God is using the people in our lives as Christ's hands to reach out to us and to reach out through us to the rest of the world. All around us, there are signs that God is at work. But so often, we just don't see it, do we? Or if we do see it, we don't understand it. Like the disciples, we don't always recognize what God is doing in our lives, even when it too is right before our eyes. It's like we carry blinders with us. I don't know if you've ever felt these. But first, I believe that we are blinded by the limitations of our own humanity. This is the question, the central question of faith and of human life. What is the purpose of it all? The grand plan. This is the question that drove Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the question that drove the prophet Isaiah to pose a challenge to God, to which God simply answered, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." It's the question that Job challenged to God in his pursuit of wisdom, to which God challenged him in return. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand." Through the ages, we have questions, and through the ages, we have been humbled by the infinite wisdom of God that cannot be so easily grasped by our limited understanding. So I admit that even if Jesus himself stood here before us now and revealed God's plan to you or to me, so limited by our own humanity, we probably wouldn't get it either. Sometimes, though, it's more than this. We are blinded by our own hubris. Our pride keeps us from seeing God at work around us, like Patty in the parking space. There are moments when we ask for help, for signs, for miracles, for anything that might reveal God's greater purpose. And yet, even if and when that happens, we ultimately dismiss it as chance, or somehow, like Patty, take credit for ourselves anyway. Or we don't ask. We don't look. We don't recognize that all of life itself is a gift from God. But sometimes, though, and this can often be our biggest blinder, we can't see God at work because life is too hard and the pain is too great. We wonder, where is God then in those moments? As I'm sure that most of you know, when I'm not here at the church, I work as a chaplain at Baptist East Hospital. And as chaplains, it's our job to look for God in the trenches. when we work with people who are so often experiencing some of the most intense moments of pain in their lives. As chaplains, however, it's not our job to give answers. Instead, I ask almost every patient the same question so that they can find the answers for themselves. The question I ask is, where have you seen God? It doesn't work for everyone. Some people truly cannot see God anywhere in that moment. The pain is too raw, the grief is too fresh. But for many, that simple question, where have you seen God, is a starting place for hope. This is where I believe that even the disciples' ignorance offers us hope. As Jesus reveals, God is at work. Whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we see it or not, God is with us, even when we don't understand. Though you may not feel it now, though you may not see it now, there are signs of God at work all around us. Little did you know it then, but that nurse who offered you her care was actually offering you the care of Christ. That doctor's hands were guided by God. That fellow church member who called to check and see how you're doing was actually extending to you the fellowship and the love of the Spirit. That coincidence that didn't feel like a mere coincidence may have been a moment of God's providence. God is at work all around us, moving through the people and the moments of our lives in ways that often we are just too blind to see. And when you comforted that friend, or when you reached out to that homeless man, or when you nurtured that child, or when you stood for justice at that protest, God was there working too, both in you and through you. God is at work in us, reaching out through us as Christ's hands and feet. All you have to do is simply look in order to see the signs. So this morning, I have a challenge for you. I'm going to ask you the question that I ask every one of my patients at the hospital. Where have you seen the signs of God in your life? If you feel comfortable, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And I want you to think of a time when you know that you felt the presence of God. If you can, I really want you to hone in on that moment. Where did you see God? Did you hear God? Did God speak to you? What was that moment like? Where is God at work in your life? Hold on to that. Catch that moment and let it consume you. Feel it fill you with that hope that God is with you, even when you may not see it. If you're still with me, that was pretty dangerous on the day after the time change, but you can open your eyes. I won't ask you to share that moment out loud this morning, but I'd love to hear more about it if you would ever like to share it with me. But this Lenten season, I want to continue to challenge you to keep looking for those blinders in your life. What keeps you from seeing the signs of God? Is it your humanity? Your hubris? Hurt? And in that challenge, I also want to encourage you. If we have learned anything from Patty and his parking space, or the disciples and their ignorance, it is that God is at work. We just have to look in order to see the signs. Amen.